Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this day we gather to worship, to praise, to give thanks for your marvelous grace poured out upon each of our lives. We focus as we talk about speaking on behalf of our God and what that means as we speak for one another. On this day we rejoice as Ryder has been welcomed into God's family as one of God's children. And also this day help us to see that we too need to speak on behalf of our Lord who has accomplished all for us. In his name we pray. Amen. The date, October 16th through the 28th, 1962. Is not a very recognizable date for many of you, but for any of us who were alive at that time, they are dates to remember. 13 days in October, intense negotiations, nuclear war being averted. It was remembered as the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Soviet Union shipping nuclear weapons to Cuba, just 90 miles from our coast. There was a naval blockade of Cuba, and Soviet ships had every intention of breaching that blockade. It was a crisis point that was averted. World War III. The world today is another one of those crisis points. How would you like to be one of the people who have to speak right on behalf of our nation or many of the nations of the world? Every word conveys something. Every word can be used by those who want to use them in whatever way they would like. They are involved in the discussions, the reporting, and yes, all of the political sides of the issue. We soak it in. We want to be right. We love it when we hear what we want to hear. We are so politicized that we watch and we listen for what we want it to be said. On this basis, we oftentimes speak, listen, and reason. Because we only want to hear what's in our interest. The truth is, there have been a number of those kind of crisis points throughout the history of the world. And here we find Jeremiah in our Old Testament speaking to the Lord's people at a time in which it was a crisis point. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking to all the Lord had commanded to him, to speak to all the people. Then the priests and the prophets and all of the people laid hold of him saying, "You shall die." Not a very good place to be in if you happen to be the prophet Jeremiah. The northern kingdom had been carried off, never to return again 12 years earlier. 20 years later, here he is speaking to the southern region of the kingdom that would soon be carried off into exile in Babylon. Jeremiah called to speak on behalf of who? God. God's people want nothing to do with what he has to say or what he speaks about. But soon they will find themselves carried off into Babylon, where they would deal with the sad waters of exile for many years. God's people had forgotten the Sinaitic covenant God had made with them. They had forgotten who God was and what he had done for them. They had forgotten the commandments. And most importantly, they had forgotten his grace. The grace that had led them out of slavery, the wandering of the 40 years in the wilderness. False teachers had arisen in their midst to speak with those itching ears who wanted to hear what they had to say, while ignoring and mistreating the prophets of God, whom God had sent. And then in the gospel, Jesus is again confronted with a crisis point. He speaks of a people unwilling to listen. He has attempted to gather them, but they want no part of what he has to tell them. And he sees this house as forsaken. And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. And nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for if it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." He talks about what is happening. It is reminiscent of what Jeremiah says in Luke 13, 34, speaks about that. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." Jeremiah has warned them about the outcome of the northern kingdom and how they were returned to the Lord. But history tells us they did not. Jeremiah speaks harsh words. The people do not want to hear. The house of Israel will be like Shiloh. They knew their history. They knew how Shiloh had become desolate. And that Jeremiah says, "Unless you turn, this will be Jerusalem's fate." And then that becomes a reality. When the officials heard, they rushed to the temple to take their chairs to condemn Jeremiah for what he had said. They got in line with what was the thinking of the day. Jeremiah had a simple message. Mend your ways and your deeds. Turn back to God. Here, mending is used in the imperative. It is a command. It is not an option. This command comes from God. The command finds its meaning when Christ comes to be the sacrificial lamb who lays down his life, doing for us what we could not do. We don't like to think about it. But you see, our lives are filled with crisis points. Right now, many people are concerned about this crisis of nuclear options. They've been placed on the table in the coming week, in the last few weeks. Or the present situation in the world as you watch with horror, as value of life is just sort of ignored. There is something going on we ought to fear. Things are beginning to be totally out of control. And yet, what about the crisis points in your life? They have similar things to the nuclear proportions, because some of those crises are about our very survival as individuals. And yet, how many people despise God's word, ignore it, and then create eternal issues for themselves? Jeremiah spoke on behalf of God. Why? The people had rejected and turned away from the Lord. You see, without God in our lives, where do we stand? What are we really all about? We are headed, yes, to other crises in our lives. When we turn from God, that's what we see over and over again in Scripture. The epistle reading this morning laments those who lose their faith. In this season of Lent, we are reflecting on that great gift that God has given us, a gift for all of mankind. We are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, to which we have been called, just as in the waters of baptism today, Ryder was called to be a part of the family of God. People can move from crisis to crisis without any resolution, it seems like, in our world today. And then when we do, that burden becomes heavier and heavier. Paul in his letters continually uses the phrase that we recognize all that God has done for us. Our citizenship is in heaven, he says, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is not just a phrase. It is to know the love of God, the beauty of that love, a love that he had for all of his creation. It is about a love that surpasses all of our understanding. It is a love that you and I can comprehend if we root ourselves and ground ourselves in God's love for us and in his word. We often talk about those who are called to speak on behalf of God. We apply that to ministry as it takes place everywhere throughout the church. It is about really every one of us. What do we do and how do we speak on behalf of our God? We are called by the gospel. We are nourished by the word. We have the opportunity to have our closest point to him through Holy Communion. Our world is in crisis. And yet that's been the situation for a long time. And this crisis highlights just how serious it is when God's word is despised, ignored, and rejected. There is only one answer. That answer is Jesus Christ. And him alone, we are free. Free indeed. We are to speak on his behalf. A God who has shown us a far more excellent way. And that's the beauty of what we have. It's not that difficult. It's rather easy for us. We are not strangers to God. God may be strange to us because we move. But think about all that God is doing, will do, and has done for us. As we worry about what's going on in our world, we need to remember, first and foremost, God is in control. He knows. He has a plan. And first of all, he has fulfilled that plan in sending his one and only Son to be our Savior, to redeem us, and to give us hope and purpose and meaning. You and I, we're called to speak on his behalf, to share the good news, to be witnesses of God at work in our lives. Amen.